Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, reading verse 18 and 19. "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you help me to preach. And by all means, help the people to hear. We're studying sanctification, how the Spirit of God and the Word of God work upon the heart. And that's what I want today. That the Word of God would do something in the heart, and that the Spirit of God would help us as we study the Word of God. Lord, please, speak to the heart today, that we draw closer to Christ, that we'd see Him in a clearer fashion, Lord. And I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to be able to get through this chapter, chapter 16, and also chapter 17 today if I can, so I'm going to try to hurry. But he says, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I want to start out by saying that binding and loosing have absolutely nothing to do with money. It's not about money. Those that teach that on television, they're wrong. There are others that teach that binding and loosing have to do with casting out of demon spirits, or taking authority over demon spirits, or strategic warfare, or territorial spirits, or whatever. Binding and loosing has absolutely nothing to do with demon spirits. It's clear from the Word of God what Jesus is saying here. He said, "I'll build my church." The last thing Jesus said when he left, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." He said, "I'll build my church, I'll empower you with the Holy Spirit," which is what was promised of the Father, and what came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And from then on, Peter and the others, they went about preaching and teaching everywhere they could go. Matter of fact, they evangelized the whole known world of that day. And again, it's not about money. It's not about trying to get money on TV. It's not about confessing Cadillacs. It's not about. And it's not about casting out demon spirits or taking authority over this or that or the demon over the city of New Orleans. Or it's none of that nonsense. It's about teaching and preaching the gospel. And he said he would build his church. And the gates of hell, the councils of hell, would not prevail against it. John chapter 4. The woman at the well, starting at verse 13. Jesus said, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, the water out of the ground, the water out of the well. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water that I thirst not." But Jesus said, "Go call your husband." But the woman answered and said, "I'm sorry, I don't have a husband." Jesus replied and said, "You've well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not even your husband. In that you said truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." We know the story. She got saved. She went into the city. All the city came out. They got saved. Jesus had a word of knowledge here as to the condition of her life. And she was loosed from all manner of stuff, from sin, from shame. She had to go during the middle of the day, not when it was cool. We know the story. You've heard this taught in Sunday school. She was loosed. But let's read about somebody that was bound. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 23, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that whosoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.'" Again, it's not about money. "For thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Again, another word of knowledge, perhaps a word of wisdom, what have you. Peter understood, and it's obvious from the context, but he understood that the man's heart wasn't right. Not only did Simon the sorcerer want to be part of the church, he wanted to be the guy out front, the guy on stage in front of the TV cameras, what have you, laying his hands and people maybe falling backwards or whatever the case, being filled with the Spirit. But Peter said, "Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." The woman, she was loosed through a word of knowledge and through the power of God that satisfied the hunger in that woman's heart. And Simon the sorcerer here, he was bound. His sins were retained, it says. He was not forgiven of his sin. He was rebuked by God, and he was cursed by God. I don't have it in my notes here, but he said, "Please pray for me that all this curse and stuff don't fall on me." You see, we're ambassadors for Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We understand what an ambassador is. The president doesn't go to Germany or Czechoslovakia or wherever in the world. He sends an ambassador in his place to represent the interest of the United States and what have you. God sends us. Jesus sends us in his place, representing him, an ambassador for him. And we're the ones that have the good news. We're the ones that preach on the corner or witness in the supermarket or hold the revival meetings or whatever. It's up to us to preach and ask and beg that people be reconciled to God in Christ's stead. We're in place of Jesus himself coming down and holding these preaching meetings or whatever. And it's up to us to bind or loose. It's up to us to say, well, yeah, this is the way you should live. It's obvious that your heart is right. It's obvious that you've been born again. Or, no, look, you're trying to just make a buck off of this. You're still in your sins. You're not loosed. You're bound. And again, it's God's desire that we go forth into all the world to preach the gospel, that we fulfill the Great Commission. But let's move on. Let's get to chapter 17. We read here in this 16th chapter, starting around verse 15, that Jesus said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, and we studied this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus goes on and he begins, as we said, to reveal more about his ministry, what have you. And he says, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And he goes on a bit. But in verse 28, it says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now we know one day Jesus is coming back. It says every eye will see him. It says that he'll put down all unrighteousness, all them crooked politicians, the ones in office, the ones trying to get office, and the ones in jail hoping they'd finish their sentence. They're all going to be put down. They're all going to be put down. And he, Jesus, will come and reign. He'll be king. And his word will be law. There'll be no more crack pipes. There'll be no more gang banging. There'll be no more of this nonsense. It'll be perfect peace and righteousness. We'll see him coming in his kingdom. But he said to Peter and the others, after Peter made his confession, that there's going to be some standing right here, he said. In other words, you guys, you disciples, you're not going to die before you see me coming in my kingdom. Glorified, what have you. No question about it, that he's God. They're going to see. And we go to the next chapter, chapter 17, and they indeed did see. And it says right here that after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John his brother and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, or separate from everybody else. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment or his clothes were white as the light. That's fantastic. We understand that Jesus is God come in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. We understand the incarnation and all of that. We understand that at the age of 30, he began his ministry and he healed the sick left and right. cast out devils, raised Lazarus from the dead, did all of these great things. But he looked just like you and me. But he looked like a man. He was a man. We understand that that's the whole point. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. But if you looked at him, you would have seen a man. No doubt, it was obvious he was the Son of God. It was obvious that the Spirit of God rested upon him day and night, and it says without measure. But he was a man. But here we see they went up on the mountain and he was transfigured, and they saw him not as human, but as God. They saw him just as he promised 6 days before that they'd see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. As Jesus is in heaven now, all power, all glory, it says the angels in Isaiah 6, they bow down again and again and again and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In Revelation, you could read about it again and again and again. It says that all the people there, all the angels, all the cherubim, what have you, they worship God day and night, bowing down before the Lord Jesus Christ day and night. But it says when they went up on that mountain, Jesus was transfigured and he appeared to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, just as he looks today in heaven, surrounded by all those angels. But if that wasn't enough to see Jesus as God, if that wasn't enough, it says that there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. What were they talking about? Maybe about what they had just talked about 6 days before, the fact that Jesus would die on the cross for the sins of the world. I don't know what they talked about, but it wasn't just Jesus there and the three disciples, but it was Moses and Elijah. And Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. And Peter, he's always quick to step up and say something. Can't leave well enough alone, I guess. He said, "Lord, it's a good thing that we're here. This is good. Hey, I know. If you want, if thou wilt, let's build three tabernacles, three tents. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But it says, and you know, it might seem like a good idea. I mean, you've got Jesus, and you've got Moses and Elijah. Let's make a tabernacle. Let's make a place for them to rest, or sit down, or what have you. But Peter made a mistake. Peter made yet another mistake. Infallible Peter, the first pope, no, not really, made another mistake. It says that while he was speaking, that a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of that cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." God the Father from heaven spoke out of a cloud. Cloud by day, fire by night. You can read about it in the book of Exodus. That cloud came and settled down, and a voice came, and they heard it unmistakably. God spoke and responded to Peter while he was yet shooting off his mouth about three tabernacles and said, "Hey, Peter, listen up. This Jesus is my beloved Son. He's the Son of God, remember? You just admitted it 6 days before. Don't you remember? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. He's apart from everyone else. I know he became a man. I get it. I sent him myself, God said. But he's my Son. And he's perfect. And he's going to die for the sins of the world. And he, just as John the Baptist said, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that's worthy in Revelation to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Listen to him. He's not just another prophet like Moses or like Elijah or like Daniel or like anybody you want. He's not just another prophet. We went through that in chapter 16. Hey, disciples, who do they say I am? Well, some says Moses, some the prophets, some says blah, blah, blah. But who do you say that I am? Well, you're the Son of God. And that voice out of the cloud said, Peter, remember what you said? This is my Son. He's apart from everybody else. You don't worship Moses. You don't worship Elijah. You don't worship this or that. You worship the Son of God. The Son of God. He confused and got him mixed up and lumped in Jesus, the Son of God, with mere prophets. He made a mistake. We can't forget that. You know, the Bible is about Moses and David and Elijah and Peter, about all kind of people. But the message of the Bible, through all of these men, all of these prophets, through all of the events, through the Red Sea, through all, you name it, the message of the Bible is, this is God's beloved Son. In the Old Testament, they look forward to his coming. Today, we look back 2,000 years ago that, hey, he came. We're to listen to him. We're to look to him. We're to hear him. And I fear too often that we make a mistake, just as Peter. And we forget that Jesus is set apart. We forget that Jesus is in a class all by himself. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. You know, I harp on religion. And I'm down on denominations. And I'm down on a lot of things. And I understand that. Maybe you get tired of it. But too often, too many churches and people in churches, you know, they've lost focus. And they look at their denomination, or they look at their church, or their choir, how good it is, and it's better than the choir down the road, or they look at this or that, or they look at their favorite false teacher, false prophet on television. And we forget to look at Jesus Christ. We forget to focus upon him. And again, I know I sound like a broken record, and I'm going to continue to sound like one. God said, this is my beloved Son. It's our duty. It's incumbent upon us to do what that voice out of the cloud said. It's our Christian duty to hear him, Jesus. Hear ye him.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.